Daily Drive is brought to you by Outsell, your brand on AI. Supercharge your database. Bring more value and grow a loyal customer base through predictive marketing. Learn more at outsell.com.
I'm Jason Stein, publisher of Automotive News, and this is Daily Drive for Monday, January 4th. Welcome and Happy New Year to all of our Daily Drive listeners. It's a new year, a new challenge, and a new job for Mike Stanton at NADA. Stanton takes on a number of significant roles and responsibilities. Retailing has forever changed thanks to the rapid digitization movement in 2020. His first convention will be virtual, and the tension between manufacturers and retailers never changes. Not that he isn't used to that relationship. Stanton got his start on the OEM side of the business and says he understands that partnership all too well. He also has an appreciation for the association side of the house, having worked closely under his predecessor, Peter Welsh, as Welsh tried to transform NADA during his own tenure. In this, his first interview with Automotive News as president and CEO of NADA, Mike Stanton also opens up about taking the reins at the trade group. For a DC kid, it's the culmination of an interesting journey. This role is a dream job, he tells us. We've reached Mike Stanton in Virginia.
Well, Mike, Happy New Year, Happy New Job.
Jason, thank you, and Happy New Year to you as well.
I want our audience to get to know Mike Stanton a little bit better. You, of course, have been the Chief Operating Officer at NADA, but some might not know you. They might not know Mike Stanton. You actually come from a family of lobbyists who spent a good amount of time trying to convince some folks their point of view. Your father, your brother, your sister. Interesting twist for you to now be in this role, given your family heritage?
I spent most of my career either working for car companies or running a for-profit business here at NADA. I also spent some time advocating for dealers with the car companies through NADA's industry relations efforts. I've been exposed to the policy side of the house here at NADA. It's something that greatly interests me. I did start my career on Capitol Hill, but in many ways, yeah, I'm right back to the politics, and it does run in the blood of my family. And now I'm right there with, as you mentioned, my sister, my brother, and my retired father.
In fact, your first job on Capitol Hill was an interesting one, I've learned. What was that?
Well, I was just an intern for Rep. Moakley out of Massachusetts. And I spent a couple months as an unpaid intern just learning the ropes and watching how things are done on the Hill.
And you're a D.C. guy. You went to high school in Washington, correct?
You could see the Capitol building three blocks from where I went to high school.
And I'm guessing if you could see the Capitol three blocks away, one would say, well, I want to be there one day. I'm guessing that that's how you grew up thinking.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it was right. We had to walk to Union Station to take the Metro. And at that point, you are 100, maybe 150 yards from the Capitol building. So yeah, it's an exciting place to be. You know, D.C. is it's a crazy town, but it's one that, as a D.C. native, you learn to love it.
So you go from college to a career that starts in the automotive business, and you start at a little known Japanese automaker. Doing what?
Well, I kind of fell into the career. I graduated school in 1990, 1991. Was the Gulf War, difficult time for new graduates to find employment. And yeah, next thing I know, I found a job with American Isuzu that paid a reasonable salary. So I was all about let's see what this is like, and you fell in love with the people there. They took me kind of under their wing, mentored me. Before I knew it, I was out calling on dealers. I had no idea what I was doing. But before too long after that, some dealers, they rescued me and took me aside and showed me you know, what a financial statement was and how they ran their business. And I was able to learn quite a bit very early on in my career because I was exposed to some pretty tough at times situations.
And what would those tough situations have been?
Primarily asking dealers to buy cars that they didn't want or make facility improvements that they didn't feel they would get a return on investment, or setting up sales incentive programs that they didn't think were fair for reasons that that are varied. It could be where they were located or the import level of penetration in their particular market. But it set up pretty quickly some of the friction for me that I saw between the car company and the dealership, even though we had the same goal. The goal is to sell cars. And the more cars we sell, everybody wins. But we weren't always on the same page on how to make that happen.
Mike, you were at Nissan following that for seven plus years. Tell me a little bit about your experience in switching to obviously a much more volume mainstream manufacturer and what you did there.
Well, again, most of my time was spent with dealers, and I was fortunate to call on a great group of stores in Southwest and Central Virginia. But Nissan at times was coming off record years. My timing wasn't great. And before I knew it, I had a whole heck of a lot more cars to wholesale than the dealers were retailing. But it also gave me exposure to the service and parts side of the business, which was a lot of fun because I found that was where I thought I could really help dealers because I was trained so well in that area, and I could bring new ideas and help dealers improve their profitability in the fixed side of the store.
So then you go to NADA, and tell me what initiated that transition to go from the automaker side of things to the association side.
Well, the birth of our first child is what initiated me taking a look around. You know, I watched factory executives move their kids, their families, when they were in high school, and the stress that put on the family unit. And I married a DC native as well, and we made the decision that we wanted our children to be able to have the same experiences that we did growing up in a close-knit family around their cousins. So I started looking for work, and I called a close friend at Nissan who had moved over here, Mike Regan, to NADA, and Mike said that he didn't have no openings in the area where he was. He was in the industry relations department, but that the guidebook had an opening. And so next thing I know, I'm over here talking to Scott Lilja about helping out with the NADA used car guide, and I was hired in 2000.
Which led to a career at J.D. Power as well.
It did. So there was a couple zigs and zags, but the gist is I was able to replace Scott after a number of years and lead the guide for almost a decade, and we were fortunate to be able to grow that business significantly and make it to where it was attractive enough to J.D. Power to want to buy it. And J.D. Power approached NADA, and Peter and the team put a deal together, and off went the guide to J.D. Power for, it's still there now. They still use the NADA name under license, but I was fortunate to have the opportunity a couple years later to come back to NADA because I found that while the guidebook continued to grow, I really missed the core mission here at NADA, even at the guide. The money that we were generating went back into the overall objective of supporting dealers. And I missed that objective and that purpose, and I miss working directly with the dealers on our board.
So you've had a wonderful connection with all of those groups that you just mentioned over the course of your time as COO leading up to this position. I'm wondering, because most of our listeners probably wouldn't have been aware or not aware, what your primary objective was as COO. What got you ready for the call to CEO?
Peter brought me in at a time. We were moving our headquarters, and he had a lot on his plate, and just a corporate move. We're 160 strong right now. We only moved a couple hundred yards, but as you can imagine, an office build out and just picking up and moving is disruptive. So I worked with a team to quarterback that. Peter also asked me to help in the dealership operations area, and we had to do some restructuring there, and I'm very proud of the team, especially the way they have stood up an academy online, and our 20 group consultants remain super engaged with their dealers through this pandemic. COO also let me, the role let me experience the organization in its entirety and get to know the people and get to know what their mindset was and how we could work more closely together to support our overall mission.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Outsell, your data-fueled, brain-powered brand on AI. Like a moon landing, technology takes us places we couldn't before imagine. And now, mind-reading technology for car dealers. That's Outsell, and it's one giant step into the future. Outsell harnesses the immense power of artificial intelligence, enabling you to have a continuous relationship with thousands of customers throughout the customer journey. In plain speak, Outsell is the first automated lifecycle marketing platform driven by AI. Outsell automatically builds and maintains a relationship with your customers using the most effective channels. When they need you, you're there, with information and offer the solution. Customers demand value. Outsell creates the kind of value prized by your best customers, a relationship that demonstrates your loyalty to them, loyalty that creates retention. For hundreds of dealerships across the country, Outsell has replaced antiquated marketing efforts with AI-powered predictive marketing. Dealerships aren't adding another expense. They're eliminating what isn't working and replacing it with the superpower. It's time to talk with Outsell about automated lifecycle marketing platform driven by AI and how it will find, create, and nurture your current and future customers. It's time to outsell everyone. Learn more at outsell.com.
So it's announced that Peter would be leaving and you apply for the job, and a job that you've described as a dream job. Why is it a dream job?
Well, it's a dream organization to me. You know, I'm a big believer in what dealers do. They are the fabric of this country. They're entrepreneurs. They're small, medium, and large business. So it's great to be in a place where you're proud of the mission. I also know the people here, and I'm fortunate that the team is going to remain intact because I'm going to need their help as we move forward. So it's the mission, it's the dealer board, it's the employees here are all factors that play into this being a dream job.
For many, Peter was considered an outsider when he came in, just given the fact that he was not a naturally DC guy. He was a California leader. One could classify you as an insider, given your roles over the last number of years. What are the advantages of an outsider and an insider?
Well, I think, you know, as an insider, you can hit the ground running a little more quickly. But it's important for me to point out that I'm not a status quo person. I see opportunities. I haven't been in a position necessarily to pursue all those opportunities. But I think as an insider, you know exactly where the problems are and where the challenges are, but also where the opportunities are. But I think that from an outsider, it's good to get that perspective and to have a fresh look. And I'm the kind of person that values that, and I ask a lot of questions. I have a network of trusted advisors, friends, mentors that I constantly go to. Hey, does this make sense? Could we do it differently? Is there a better way? What do you think? That's just my nature. So I like to think that while I'm an insider, I'm driven towards change. I want to get better every day, and I value very much the opinion of outsiders as well. Because I think that collective is what will get us to the best decision.
One of the job requirements in the listing for this role that you've taken was to really be the public face of the association, obviously, given the gravity of the title. That's not something that you've spent much time doing in your previous roles. Are you comfortable with all of that? Are you comfortable being on more of these?
Well, of course. And, you know, I did lead the guidebook for almost a decade, and I was the face, along with Jonathan Banks, at the guide, representing what I believe is an industry icon. And so maybe a different audience, but our audience at the time with the guide was a lending community, dealers, both franchised and independent, insurance companies, government agencies, and the like. So yeah, I'm very comfortable in the spokesperson role. This is just a different stage for me.
For sure. What are dealers telling you that they're most concerned about, I would say, outside of the coronavirus, which is the obvious issue that we will deal with here this year and that we dealt with last year?
I think it's just the future in general. What's this industry going to look like in 3, 5, 10 years? What can we do to continue to promote our franchise system and enhance that? And am I doing everything I need to do to get better, to meet customer needs? And how can NADA help with that?
And you'll be, within a month's time, dealing with something that no other past leader has had to deal with, which is a convention where you can't see anybody, at least outside of a virtual world. I've got to imagine that the baton being handed to you during that time will have its own opportunities and challenges, but how do you feel about the convention and perhaps maybe what you've learned leading up to it now?
There's never an ideal time for anything in my experiences, but you put your head down, you get to work, and you remain optimistic that things are going to be a success. This virtual show will be a success. It will be the automotive virtual event of the year. It's first class. NADA has invested in the right platform. We've pulled the right educators and speakers, and the car companies are going to participate. It's the industry event of the year, and yes, it's going to be different, and not one person's going to say that they would prefer this, I think, to in person. But we got to go with the best we can go with, and the hope is that we're able to attract more dealers and more international participants to this show because the cost is so low. There's no plane, there's no hotel involved. So we think we can broaden our exposure. And sure, we're going to miss the social aspect and the interaction that we all crave. But we're going to do the best we can. And our expectation is that everybody that attends is going to walk away thinking they got a heck of a lot more than they thought they might have.
We've spent a ton of time with your predecessor. He's gotten to know our Automotive News family well, our Crane family well, and I think we could probably describe what Peter Welsh-ism is. What is Mike Stanton-ism? How will we characterize you? How will we know the effect that you've had?
Well, probably not the right question for me. I would prefer, and I know you don't have time, this is you're interviewing me, that you talk to the people that I've worked with. And I would hope that those folks would say that I'm a person of great integrity and someone that they trusted, and someone that gives open to new ideas, gives people the freedom to explore new ideas, someone that is a collaborator, that doesn't think he knows it all, and that's trying to get better every day and still has a heck of a lot to learn.
Indeed. I can only imagine that your D.C. father was awfully proud when this appointment came around. What did he say to you?
Well, we've had some fun conversations, of course, and some of the folks that he's still connected to in the industry, he got some nice notes. So, yeah, it's been a fun ride. A honeymoon of sorts. I've been able to reconnect with a lot of old friends that I haven't heard from in years. So it's been a nice ride, but I'm looking forward to getting started here.
We're looking forward to having you in the role. Mike, thank you so much. We wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, Jason.
We reached new NADA President and CEO Mike Stanton in Virginia. And that's Daily Drive from Monday, January 4th. For breaking news, go to autonews.com. And for a library of nearly 200 interviews, go to autonews.com/dailydrive. We'll be back Tuesday.